This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome into Husker 24/7 podcast. I am Mike Schaefer. That is Brian Christofferson. We are Husker 24/7, and we are here to talk to you today about making a crystal ball prediction and how sometimes it doesn't quite go how you expected, because there are changes to the ecosystem of when you put in your crystal ball. I mean, if you put it in on a Friday before the weekend, and then by the end of the weekend, Nebraska's suddenly in conversations with a five-star quarterback, that might change the calculus of a crystal ball. I don't know about you, Brian, but I think that might have had something to do with how everyone got it wrong on Kyle McCord, despite the fact that on, Wednesday morning at about 10 a.m., everything was pointing in the direction of Kyle McCord in Nebraska. What are your thoughts?
No, I think that's well summed up. Yesterday morning about this time, I think we were feeling pretty good about it still, weren't we? I mean, I was.
I would say I felt good about it up until about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Maybe 3:30, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was. Well, we've already talked about it on the previous pod about how, I mean, Monday was like unlike anything we've ever seen around here with recruiting and just the blast that caused throughout college football with the Dylan Raiola news. And, you know, there is that awkward part of it where you've got someone on campus who you'd been talking to the previous week, and Kyle McCord and his family, and it seems to be lining up to be a really good marriage. And I put in a crystal ball along with you, so I'm in that company too, where it's wrong. But you're right. Sometimes things shift, and that's really what happened here, I feel like. But I don't know if we'll ever hear the full story and all the ins and outs from the McCord family. That's not usually how these things go. Like, after,
we don't get the tell-alls. Unless it goes right, you don't get the tell-all.
Everybody always wants those. So, I mean, and everybody will always wonder, like, oh, I heard he had a great visit and this happened, or I heard the visit was terrible. You know, it's going to be all over the map, and that's just the way it's going to be with this deal.
Say something to that regard?
Yes. Say something, yes.
Yes. So, we'll reveal a little bit how the sausage is made. Talk on Wednesday morning with someone very familiar of the McCord and Fleming visit, and they said things went great for both of them. Things were progressing really, really well, and it sure looked like this was going to end up with Nebraska with both Ohio State guys. That was about 10 a.m. again Wednesday morning. At about 5:30, after the news had come out, I received another phone call from somewhere in the 24/7 Sports Network to someone connected to the McCords. And that phone call informed me that the visit was actually terrible and it didn't go very well. So, you know, that's quite a difference between 10 a.m. Kyle McCord no longer on campus, by the way, Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. when I'm receiving this phone call. And then, Wednesday afternoon where I'm told actually it was terrible. Entirely two different people in the 24/7 Sports Network have no idea if they spoke remotely about Kyle McCord at all that day. But that's how this works sometimes. You're as good as the information that you have. You're as good as the information that you receive. And you're as good as your own ability to parse through that information and the people that give it to you and make your own judgment calls. So look, that is that's a portion of my job, and I just wanted to kind of reveal that so people understand what a day like yesterday is like when all that information is flying around, that you can hear two wildly different things in the span of 8 hours that was about the same visit that wasn't even taking place on the day in question.
Yeah, well, I'd add to that. You and I don't take or accept just like information with a, like, it's automatic unless it's from somebody that we know is really well tied in.
And then you're still vetting it to the best of your ability because exactly. That's what you always do.
Yeah. And people who in our network were really, I would say, tied in on this more, they were in on this from last week, you know, when the visits were happening and when exactly Kyle McCord was going to be on campus was nailed down. And so they're talking to people who, you know, are very well connected with the decision process. It was a bummer to me yesterday. I'll be honest, not because the crystal ball's wrong. Whatever. I wrote on Monday, and I believe it, there was a perfect scenario here that could have set up where you had this guy started 12 games at Ohio State, gone 11-1. Yeah, he's got talent all around him. But I liked a lot of things about McCord. I think a lot of his teammates at Ohio State really liked him from what I've heard, and thought he was a gamer. And you watch like the last drive at Notre Dame and you see some of the throws he makes, and they're just throws we haven't seen as much around here. And I was fired up about how that, you know, I always talk about bridge players, that bridge into the future. I loved how that looked with him and whoever it was going to be afterward, whether it was going to be Danny Kalen or now Ryla or whatever. I thought that can work. Like, you can get a young guy in here. I would think a freshman maybe could think like, I'm not going to start the first year. It's sort of like a guy in baseball where you don't want to send him up to the majors right away. You kind of let him build and, you know, there's other people in front of him. And I thought this could work just right for Nebraska for once. And that's why I was really disappointed, because I would not take back a word I wrote about feeling like McCord as a player and like what he is about as a player could have fit well for Nebraska for one season.
I mean, I'm with you, you know, verbatim. I like, we did those rankings of the five guys Nebraska looked at. It was a very easy for me for Kyle McCord, in no short part because I feel like they haven't really had a quarterback like that. And I thought that his ability to help those wide receivers develop in their game, and you give them a guy who can put the ball in spots that allows them to just run after the catch. I mean, you have so much speed at wide receiver and you never get to use it because you can't hit a simple crossing route because it's just not part of your offense, you know, and Kyle McCord could have made that part of your offense. I love the idea, you know, when the Dylan Raiola thing broke on Monday, I love the idea of Nebraska trying to reset its foundation. Instead of continually being a team where you're trying to build from a 4 or 5 win standpoint, you're building after a year with Kyle McCord where maybe you get 8 wins and you pass that baton off to a redshirt freshman in Dylan Raiola that has the ability to, you know, step in and can take this program to a place where it hasn't been for a while. Like, it was very easy to create these scenarios in my mind. It was very easy to make the puzzle pieces fit and make a nice landscape of it, right? Unfortunately, college football, and especially 2023, 2024 college football, does not exist where the pieces are just going to fit nicely together. We're just not in that time. And I don't have all of the information here, but right. I can simply point at it like this. There was a seismic change in how things were going Monday afternoon. And then Dylan Raiola enters the equation. You know, you get through the visit, and it certainly just seems to me that Nebraska was not going to be able to set up a scenario where Kyle McCord would be your unquestioned starter for 2024, and you were also going to get Dylan Raiola. I just feel like there wasn't that avenue, and ultimately, it feels like the legacy and the five-star and the multiple years won out over a temporary immediate upgrade at the quarterback position. Like, that's my read on it. here on Thursday morning at 9:46. And it's going to be really hard for me likely to move off of that read.
Yeah. And it might work out amazingly. You never know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
But in the moment, it feels like Nebraska, it's 2024 future has become a lot shakier than the solid foundation it felt like it was heading towards.
Well, I think you and I are both of the same mind. Like, some people get really excited, like it's a video game about just, implement this guy who has whatever a good rating on a video game is these days. He has a 93 rating because he's a 5-star recruit or whatever. And they get fired up about just plug him in and it's going to work. I always think of it more like it is going to take time for that guy to build up into being, you know, the player he can be at the college level. Not that he's not going to be great, and he might very well be. But that's why I love the idea of you have a safety net under you, you know, like with a quarterback who's been around the block and can also teach those guys some things. And, you know, we don't know, this quarterback situation hasn't completely played out. We were surprised with some stuff that happened this week. We might still be surprised with other things. I'm really pretty confident Dylan Riley is going to end up at Nebraska. I think you are too at this point. Should probably be careful saying that and just
anything can change.
Yeah,
it's all whimsical.
I mean, if you were Kyle McCord and you're on campus Monday, or you're in that family you're on your visit, and then suddenly there's just this massive commotion like that you can't get away from in this modern age on your phone and everywhere about someone coming to the program. That's going to be in your head. You're going to have to think about that a little bit. So I understand it from their vantage point too, without even having heard their side of the story. I could understand where that would, at least when you went home that night or Tuesday, you're thinking about, okay, the scenario is a little different than when I got on the plane to come here, now. And, so that's what seemed to happen. That's why I think, I really feel like our crystal balls would have been right, on that one. But they're not. And also, when it says 100%, I want to point this out. This isn't people got to come on. When it says 100% Nebraska on a thing, it's because the three people who weighed in think, okay, if I
they
think
all it's pick the same team,
it's still thing Nebraska. That's not us saying it's 100% going to be Nebraska. Like, or lock it up, it's done. You know, like let's be real about it. If we're gonna take shots, so just wanted to get my piece out on that, but. I'm disappointed that the McCord thing didn't happen. I really am. Cause I, in my head, I really worked it out the last 5 to 6 days. And I was like, I like this scene. And, so I got to move on from it cause Nebraska's moving on. And, with that, I suppose Schaefer, there's a question about Daniel Kalen too. Is it going to visit Michigan State?
Yeah. I mean, I made the comment, and this also just speaks to people's complete inability to either know language or reading comprehension. But I made the comment on Wednesday that Nebraska has become the epicenter of quarterback movement for college football. And for people who don't know what epicenter means, it's the area right where the shocks radiate out from, you know, like an earthquake or what have you. Like, it's just everything radiates out from the epicenter. So what I meant by that was Nebraska either getting Kyle McCord changes the picture for some other college in America. Nebraska getting Dylan Raiola changes the picture for Georgia, who wants two quarterbacks. So if they go take another high school quarterback, it changes that landscape at a different school. The aftershocks are what come out of an epicenter, and people just didn't seem to understand what epicenter meant. And part of that is what it means for someone like Daniel Kalen, who is now going to visit Michigan State and very likely is going to flip his commitment from Nebraska to Michigan State. And that means Michigan State is taking him instead of a different quarterback, which then changes the picture for yet another college, another aftershock. That was the idea behind it. Yeah. There's a lot of like, well, this didn't age well after the Kyle McCord thing came out, as if people still aren't able to understand there's still going to be a change in the picture here. Like, that's the whole idea. That's what the, you know, that's what it was. And that's what it means. When Dylan Raiola enters the picture, it changes the landscape for college football. That is the aftershock. And it has changed the landscape for Nebraska's quarterback room. And because of that, you're likely to see Daniel Kalen at a different school. And Nebraska will have, there was the thought prior to anything with Dylan Raiola, Nebraska's quarterback picture was going to look like adding Kyle McCord and Daniel Kalen in 2024. Now, neither, or very likely neither. I mean, it hasn't happened yet with Daniel, and maybe the visit doesn't go great at East Lansing and he chooses to stay with Nebraska. I would put that at like 4% right now, if I had to guess. But that is kind of where Nebraska's at. I mean, and I don't, the thing that's tough here is it paints Dylan Raiola in a way that I think is somewhat unfair, because it's just the reality of this is a guy that is not only a legacy, but he is a five-star player, and the expectation is he is going to be your starter for a long time. And so if you're Daniel Kalen and you've constantly been in the shadow of Dylan Raiola every step of this entire journey for his recruitment, I can fully understand why he does not want to be at Nebraska. I get it. It makes a lot of sense to me. If he feels like Nebraska is going to take Dylan Raiola, he doesn't have a path to playing time that is readily available. And more than that, it's the third time that Dylan Raiola has more or less been involved with Nebraska at the same time that Daniel Kalen is. And he knows how this has ended each of the other two times. Nebraska has chosen Dylan Raiola. He's going to move on to find a school that's going to choose him. I think it makes a ton of sense to me. And I don't think there was ever really a strong possibility that he might just hang around for the idea that he could be the backup for Dylan Raiola.
And from Nebraska's side of it, let's get to Raiola a bit. I mean, he's been a guy for 2.5-3 years in the recruiting world that has been at the top, and his talent is easily recognizable. And I wrote about it the other day in Happier Times in Husker Football that went up in the afternoon about tracing back to when it began, sort of when it took flight, that Friday Night Lights, and you can remember it. It was a beautiful night, and he comes out there, and you're like, there he is, and you've heard about him, but you kind of want to see the ball come out of his hands. And I do remember first throw I saw him take was like a 50-yard, and it was on a line. And there's Twitter, it's out there, the evidence of that throw, and other ones are out there. And you're like, okay, that's pretty good for a 15-year-old. So from Nebraska's side and from Raiola's side, there is like this this great ceiling there.
Oh, yeah.
That is exciting.
He's currently the number two recruit in the country. Like,
we've never had that here.
Yeah. I mean, so we're talking about a scenario that really we've never had to experience, or Nebraska coaches have never really been around in a long, long, long time, if ever. And so it's super unique. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Just wanted to.
No, I mean, he will be the highest. He can't be. I mean, unless someone was ever number one before, when we didn't used to do this in 1978. So maybe Nebraska had a recruit back in like 83 who would have been number one on a list if that was going on. But yeah, this is in its own territory. And if he commits, as we kind of, I mean, we're believing he will at this moment. That's going to change the mood around here, because I do think right now there's that fear factor of like, from Husker fans, they've been burned so many times. They just sort of expect something bad to happen, even when it looks good. And I get all that. And that's why, you know, the emotions are running high on the web and everything with comments and all that. It's just, this is what it is. It's an emotional week around here because everybody knows this program's got to get it right at that position. And that's why, you know, the reactions are what they are. And I understand that. So if it happens this weekend, though, or whenever, Wednesday with signing day, that it'll be, I mean, that'll be a monumental moment in Nebraska recruiting that we haven't quite seen with how he's ranked and just what the story's been for the last 2 to 3 years as we followed it. So,
yeah.
And it's not easy being, I would say this too. How hard would it be being Dylan Raiola or any recruit like that for the last 2 to 3 years of your life, where every decision you make and all that, everybody is kind of pulling at you and analyzing everything. And yeah, there's been some flipping and all this and that, but it's still at the end of the day, a high school kid making a decision on his college future. And there's going to be changes of mind and things you hear that won't make you want to change direction maybe sometimes. And I never get as, I used to get mad sometimes when kids flip flop, but I'm well past that now. I guess I just kind of accept it as part of the deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely is part of the deal. And the fascinating thing to me is that you got to have some really broad shoulders at 18 years old as Dylan Raiola, because you're going to be carrying the hopes and the dreams of this program on them. Should you commit to Nebraska, and should you be, you know, immediately thrust into position where you're playing right away next year? Like, that is not normal. And so it'll be very, very unique. And we've experienced it before. I mean, Nebraska's had, you know, young starters, and Adrian Martinez did it in 2018. And, you know, Taylor and Tommy were redshirt freshmen when they had their opportunities and all of that. But it's not an easy road. And certainly, you know, Nebraska is not a loaded offense either. That's the part of the equation where you spent an entire week searching for a quarterback. You had conversations with a veteran wide receiver, and now that week is gone, and it doesn't look like Nebraska is going to end up with either of those players, and they haven't added anyone yet from the portal. And so it's worth sort of acknowledging all of that. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to dive into a few other things. Nebraska picked up a commitment on Wednesday as well, as all of this was going on. So we will talk about Alexander Ruggieroli. We will discuss Jackson Lee, who decommitted. I mean, everything is happening right now in Nebraska football. So stick around. We'll be right back. We'll be hitting on it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
So I mentioned Nebraska picked up a commitment, Brian. They got, and I find it pointless to really just draw the distinction between the scholarship and the NIL scholarship, but they essentially picked up a commitment from Alexander Ruggieroli, a 6'7", I believe, offensive lineman from Bishop Gorman that will slot in as a developmental left tackle. And this is a guy that Donovan Raiola really likes. Like, I think he's been more involved in this recruitment than several others on Nebraska's offensive line. This is someone that he's very high on. And so to me, it doesn't matter that this is a cost of tuition NIL situation, but he's walking on, I guess, if you will. Like, I don't think it matters. I don't think he's going to be regarded that way on the depth chart. I don't regard him that way as far as the commitments go. I view this as Nebraska using NIL to add to their own ability to put scholarship level players on their roster. And that's what's happened here. And this is a guy he visited for the Purdue game at the end of October. He was really in on Nebraska at that point, but Arizona State, Washington State had his attention too. Wanted to take some other visits. He told me in the commitment story that he regretted not committing that day in October. He had such a great time, but he wanted to make sure that he wasn't leaving other options out. And so he didn't commit at that point. And there was a brief moment in there where it looked like he wasn't going to be able to have a spot at Nebraska, but they were able to make some things happen. And now he is firmly involved moving forward. And this is a guy that'll show up next summer and he'll redshirt more than likely. And he's a guy that, you know, we're probably not going to talk a lot about until he gets the opportunity to sort of prove himself in future years. But anytime you can add to your trenches, Brian, I'm always excited about that. Adding offensive linemen, and I don't think Nebraska is ever going to be a team that can comfortably play in the portal for offensive linemen. I think it's too hard. I know Walter Rouse last year that they had an opportunity to get, but he ultimately changed his mind, went to Oklahoma. I think they're going to have to build it through high school players on their offensive line year in and year out. And I would bet on a guy like this. I mean, if you can make it happen for your numbers, it makes a lot of sense to me to add somebody like this.
Walter Rouse. I almost forgot about that. Yeah. I interviewed him
who was like the number one player in the country, like one of these last recruiting cycles. He was at A&M. He might be in the transfer portal now because who isn't in the transfer portal, but I always got that name wrong, so I was pretty excited when I got it right there.
Yeah, I interviewed a Walter Rouse when he committed to Nebraska for a day at like 11:30 at night, I remember.
Being stunned they got him. Like, I just thought there was no chance in hell they were going to get him. And it turns out that I was ultimately right on that. But at the moment, it was as surprising as what Monday sort of felt like, too.
Yeah. With the trenches, I mean, you'd have to say – with this staff so far, when I look at what's been done as far as recruiting, and you have to build them up, but D-line and O-line, Rule does make a big emphasis on that whenever he speaks about you got to be that type of team in this league, obviously in football in general, but I think people understand in the Big Ten, you've just got to be built to like grind it out October, November when it's 18-mile-an-hour winds and all that. So this is just another piece that I like as part of that mission. And, obviously let's not forget, not too long ago, there was the Grant Bricks commitment and all that. And so there is some positive stuff that's happened there. And obviously we like the D line too, the young talent there. So it seemed like a very nice addition and a set. The way you explained it is good because it's a savvy way of building your roster too, in this NIL era.
Yeah. And then later on Wednesday evening, Jackson Lee, who was set to come to Nebraska. I don't know if there's any other way to really phrase this. It just appears Nebraska had sort of moved on from him as he is now going to Tulsa. I don't think that was a flip from Nebraska for Tulsa thing. I think it was simply the numbers. I mean, that is the thing about the way Nebraska has recruited, where they have just never stopped recruiting anyone. They just don't have the ability to put all of these guys on scholarship. And there is a big distinction between Jackson Lee and Alexander Ruggieroli. And I think people need to know this. And I don't think it's probably known enough. And that means that, I haven't done a good enough job explaining it either. Nebraska can't take a kid that has taken an official visit and put him on a cost of tuition scholarship. It works in the same way that blue shirts do, where a guy can he can visit your campus, but if he never does it officially, then he could just enroll there as a blue shirt and you would be able to put him on scholarship eventually. But because he was not a recruited athlete in the sense that you used an official visit on him, you can't do that. Or that you can do that. You can't do it when someone like Jackson Lee, who I think also for the Purdue game, was an official visitor. And so it might have been Northwestern, one of those two weekends in October. Nebraska would not have been able to do a cost of tuition thing like they did with Alexander Ruggieroli. And so that is kind of the distinction there. I bungled that. Let me try it again real quickly. If you take an official visit, you have to go on scholarship to be at a football school, at a D1 school like this. So if you think about it, there are guys that are in Nebraska's recruiting class that have not taken official visits. You can draw the line as to which of these guys are going to count towards the 85 and which ones right now are not. Now, where it gets tricky is after they move past their freshman year, it can all just sort of change. Like a guy could be moved on to scholarship. He could stay on the NIL thing. You could move guys off of scholarship to the NIL thing. Like there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of manage it. But to lengthen out your class with a confusing amount of available scholarships, Nebraska is having some of these guys are joining the class, but they're doing it with NIL type assistance. I don't know how well I explained it. I feel like I got worse as I continued to try to explain it.
No, do it one more time.
Are you serious?
I'm not serious.
Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah. No, I already wasted enough time with it.
No, I
feel like
it.
I made it worse. People, let me know in the comments if I made it worse, if you understand it less. It's easier to probably write it out than it is to say it. Or if I had written it out and read that rather than just try to espouse it from my brain right now. But I'm going to shut up and BC is going to talk for a couple minutes.
Okay. I'll talk for a couple minutes. To finish it off, if we're finishing it off, which I assume we are pretty soon.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go back to the quarterbacks because I can't get them out of my head. And I think that's what everybody's talking about.
Can I mention one thing real quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
Julian Fleming.
Yeah.
Not likely to be a part of this thing either. Nebraska still has a giant question mark with wide receiver. And I don't think that they have another great option that they just turned to right at this moment. So we will keep an eye on that. But that is a portal thing that they are going to have to. They have to go get a veteran receiver. I think there was a lot of excitement from the Julian Fleming camp about the idea of coming in and being the number one receiver alongside Kyle McCord in this Nebraska offense and kind of playing in that mentor role for some of these younger guys. I would be very shocked if Nebraska were to kind of keep that thing going. I would look at Penn State or some of his other options at this point.
And he did get here. He was here.
Yep. They were both here. I mean, they were both here on the same day on Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, fascinating week. It really is. And with the QBs, what I was going to say is, of course, I wonder about if Dylan Raiola ends up signing. And, if Danny goes to Michigan State, we'll see. But you've obviously got Chuba and Heinrich still on scholarship. Chuba's a grad transfer. As far as
Casey Thompson in town.
Yeah, I know.
Give that a little side eye emoji. I have nothing else to add on it. I don't have anything at this moment, but
yeah, I don't either. With that, who knows anymore? Like that's the thing now. He's
26 years old. I'm just gonna throw that out there. He's 26.
We're now in that age where like some guy who's like 35 or something could show up and it's like, oh yeah, actually there's a rule that where he could play two more seasons. And I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like I'm
Brandon Whedon just shows back up at Oklahoma State next year for Gundy.
Yeah. Like my mind is open to like about anything being possible anymore and guys coming and going. So sometimes you'll see something like that. You'll be like, nah, that's not happening. And then I'm like, well, I'm just not going to talk about it because who knows anymore. But I was thinking about Chuba and Heinrich because you got to have depth at the room. And I always have thought, you know, to me, four is like the ideal number. I know back in the Frost era when they first got here, there was a lot of big talk about having five scholarship QBs. And it's like, good luck with that. Yeah. It was rarely pulled off by the time it got to the season. But it's interesting how those guys were processing it all. And all we could do is have speculative banter about it. So it's probably dangerous territory. But I just was wondering, as this was all playing out, like, what's Chuba thinking? Like, people kind of liked his last couple of games. And also, if Chuba's around and, he played better at the end of the year, you know, he's been around the college game 4 years. I'm not going to be somebody, even if it's just an expectation that like the five star is going to come in and start. I'm going to think to myself, like, this should be very open competition, because it's just the way I look at it. I mean, I don't know how it could be any other way as talented as someone may be if they're coming right out of the high school rank. So that'll be really interesting to just watch how those guys process it, and we'll see through their decisions and who's here in January. And if there's, somehow, some way, you got to have a fourth QB in that room, I feel like, but I don't know where it comes from right now, or if there's a surprise in store there. But that, yeah. that's the stuff I've been thinking about.
Yeah. And, you know, there's still other targets out there for Nebraska. We're going to, I would bet more than likely there will be another podcast coming tomorrow. I just think news is going to keep coming out over the next few days here as we get closer to signing day. Yeah. There's some guys that, you know, Amari Sanders is going to make a decision on signing day. I think Nebraska could end up there adding a defensive back. I think they're going to have to continue to sort of look at their commitment list and see where they are numbers wise. And so I wouldn't rule out some potential changes too with what we know in terms of the commitments as well. And so, you know, we'll have all the coverage of this at Husker 24/7. We'll still have crystal balls. We're not going to stop making crystal ball predictions. What is endlessly funny to me is I was like 16 for 16 going into the Kyle McCord one there. So, and it's not even technically wrong because he hasn't gone anywhere yet. We just know he's not going to Nebraska. And so if we were savvy and we just flipped it over to Syracuse, we would continue, you know, to be right ultimately. And that's what matters, right? Just you getting could, it correct.
Well, you could shift the 100% thing. It wouldn't say 100%.
I never understood that either because, like, for us, and I think other services might, they allow you to put in a percentage of your confidence versus just like,
well, we have the confidence bar. Ours
we have the 1 through 10. But, like, I don't fully understand that because, you know, it's not like 60% of the player can go to Nebraska and 40% can go to Syracuse. It's 100% of the player is going to go somewhere. So what are we talking about the percentage for? Unless it's just like people are like, oh, they all got it wrong. Which then, if everyone gets it wrong, that should tell you something changed. But use your deduction skills, if you will.
Yeah, we took our share of darts for that yesterday.
It doesn't matter though. But, I mean, I don't care that much about the crystal ball. I really don't. I care more so about what Nebraska's quarterback picture looks like for 2024. And in my mind, right. It got worse on Wednesday afternoon.
Well, it could be. We'll see. I mean, I think I just like to explain the process sometimes. That's really all.
I think it's good.
I'm interested about what, so people understand how it works and all that, and they can like it or not like it, that's fine. But yeah, I wanted to get you in like a Few Good Men moment where I was like, did you order the crystal ball? And you just like shout, you're damn right I did. You know, you had the McCord crystal ball.
Did you order the red line? Is that what it is? I can't remember what the exact, was it red line?
Code red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the exact dialogue there. That's one of those movies I've only ever seen start to finish once, and really? But it's also one where you've caught like specific scenes of it on TBS on a Sunday afternoon while growing up, when it just happens to be playing, or TNT or wherever. I've like seen the courtroom scene probably 20 times, but I've only ever actually watched that movie all the way through once.
I bet I've seen it 30 times, that movie.
It does seem like a movie that you would have just like really locked into.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of them. Are you a big movie guy?
Not as much as some, but yeah. There's certain ones I consider them the movies that they pop up and you're like, I'm not going to change the channel. Like The Fugitive is like that for me.
Shawshank.
Few Good Men. Yeah. Shawshank used to be, I've kind of moved on from it. I do have a Goodfellas is probably like that for me.
Can I give a really hot take, like a blazing hot take?
We already have had a couple, I think. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we haven't.
I prefer The Green Mile to Shawshank Redemption if we're going to talk about Stephen King-related prison movies that came from, like, novellas that he wrote. I like The Green Mile more than I like Shawshank Redemption. And I feel like this would make some people really mad.
Well, I don't know. I can see that take. I like Shawshank. I wouldn't say a bad word about it. I do think it's one of those that there's certain movies that got put on what, TNT or TBS. They had that link for so long. And because of that, it added to their fame because it was just always on. So that Shawshank got the benefit of that. But it's a solid movie. But I like Green Mile, too. It was a little long, I thought. I thought they could have brought it down maybe 20 minutes or so. But anyway, that's my Green Mile thoughts to finish off the pod. Yeah.
That's Schaefer and BC talking movies for no reason whatsoever here on December 14th. You are welcome. And, you know, we'll be back talking more Husker recruiting, Husker football. We've got a basketball podcast. Check out the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast as we get you prepared for the Kansas State game that'll be happening on Sunday. And as always, stop by Husker247.com where we will have all the coverage of everything and a really lively message board right now. I want to shout out our users. We've had some really good discussions in there. We've had some great off-topic discussions about a billion and a half quarterback discussions. There's some good stuff going in there. So I don't always express this, and certainly not always in a positive manner when I certainly should. But our message board users are doing a great job on the board. So if you just want to be a part of the conversation, you don't have to read Brian and I stuff. You don't have, like, no one requires you to read anything. You could ignore all of it and just jump into the middle of the conversation that's going on at Husker 24/7. So you don't even need an invite. Just invite yourself in, jump right in, and just start talking. Someone will respond. I promise that. All right. For BC, Mike Shaver here. And we are departing. We are the Husker 24/7 crew. And we'll catch you next time with another Husker 24/7 podcast.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.